Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 2nd of November. We have Avery Doria, Evan Leibovich, Tijani Benjamin, Rafik Damak, Carlos Aguirre, Elaine Pries, Alan Greenberg, Eric Brunner-Williams, Fabien Betremieux. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Glenda Saint-Géry, and Gisela Gruber-White. And apologies sent through for today, Alex Gakuru, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Dave Kisundwayo, Michaeli Nalon, and Tony Harris. Also, Andrew Mack has just joined the call. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Avery.
Okay, thank you. This is Avery. Evan and I spoke, and since I've been absent from so many meetings lately, we decided that I would do the chairing on the meeting today. However, since I've missed so many meetings, I look to him to tell me when I start to stray down paths that I shouldn't stray down, because you've all been there and moved on. On the SOI DOI issue, just want to ask, does anybody need to update their statement of interest, which reflects their normal relationship to ICANN and any employment or whatever they have that relates to that? Are there any updates to SOIs? Okay, hearing none, thanks. Just remind people to update yours with Glenn if you do need to, and then remind us at the next meeting. In terms of the DOI, the description of interest, does anyone have a specific DOI to record in terms of the issues we'll be talking about today in terms of support for new applicants? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on. And, okay, as I understand the agenda for today, it is basically to finish up on, it's not the agenda one sees before us, it's basically to finish up on the final draft. And basically, if I understand correctly, you are at the point of discussing the FAQ and then finishing up the FAQ, and then that, I think, would, just looking through the rest of the document, that would finish up this document, if I'm correct. And then it was to move on to the addenda and especially the responses to objections to make sure that that was also complete. So if that's correct, there are other issues before us, such as putting together proposals for the chartering organizations as to what comes next, and perhaps even to make recommendations so that our liaisons can take motions away to them on how to take our charter further, but I definitely want to put those issues off until we've gotten what's on our plate, this report, off it. Hopefully that's okay with everyone. I mean, I really do want to get to talking about what's next, but I want to restrain myself and hopefully the rest of us to put that off until we finish. Is that okay with people? Okay. In going to the report, and before we get to the FAQ, I just want to ask one question. Oh, I see Tijani has his hand up. Go ahead, Tijani.
Yes. Thank you, Avery. First of all, I wanted to begin with the glossary, with the definitions, because we have some definitions absolutely necessary for the comprehension of the text. So I think we have to start with that.
Okay. Does anyone object to starting with that and then going on to the facts? And if not, we'll start with that. But before that, I wanted to ask one question, and we can come back to this later. The name of this report, we've called it Final Milestone. I've been told in other places that that word final signals wrong things to people sometimes. So I'd like to ask people to keep in their back of the mind whether they just want to call it the milestone report, where we declare that we finished our milestone, or whether we really should call it final milestone report. I don't necessarily want to discuss it now, but I want to come back to that question when we say, okay, we're done, send it on. Okay. Moving to the glossary, which is at where is that? Can somebody give us a pointer?
After the...
the page and lines and all that.
After the background. Glossary. It's a line 152.
Okay, I found it. Yep, 152.
Yeah.
Okay, so has this been walked through before, or...
There is specific issues
you wish to bring up?
Mr. Carla, no, I have not walked through the glossary before.
So let's
just like to remind people that many of the terms that are here already defined are terms that are either present at the ICANN terminology, it's on the website, or at the applicant guidebook. So those are standard definitions that my recommendation is we keep as it is. I highlighted in yellow some other definitions that are part of this document that we can define however we want.
Okay, thanks. Evan, I see your hand.
Only that I just wanted to call attention to one of the things that was sort of on my mind as going through this, is continuing to make a note of everywhere where there is something in yellow, which indicates that Carla's put something that we need to check over. There is something back at line 111 that goes to the whole thing of emerging markets, and I think there's been some email going around that I guess that's part of the definition also that we're going to have to deal with.
Exactly. The reason why this is in yellow is because we didn't finish the definition.
Okay, so you wanted to go back to 111 now?
Well, it's just part of it. Tijani's right that we need to deal with the definitions, but this is an important one we're also going to have to deal with.
It will be treated inside the glossary. You will see it.
Okay. Going back to 152, then we'll get to it in place. Carla, do I understand you correctly that if you haven't marked it in yellow, then it is not something that was created just for the purpose of this group?
That's right.
Okay. So the first one is the new GTLD program. Does anybody have issues with that definition, 154, 155? Okay, moving on. Registry, 158 to 163. Any issues with that definition? No? Okay.
Avery?
Yes.
Avery, I think that we don't have to spend time on those because they are well-defined terms. And we have to go to the terms highlighted by yellow.
Oh, okay. I had asked whether we wanted to walk through them or just go to the yellow, and I hadn't gotten a response, so I figured we would just walk through them to make sure. So everybody is fine. Let me ask one question. Is everybody fine with the definitions that have been put through that are all in black and white and not yellow? Any objections, any issues at all? Okay, hearing none. If someone does have one later, please bring it up, but I'll assume that they're all okay. And looking for the first bit of yellow, we come up to support development program that has no definition. I see Elaine. Please go ahead.
Sorry for the late hand raise.
Okay, I thought it might be.
For registry fees, 187, there are some numbers put in there, and it was my understanding that different TLDs have different fees according to contracts. I understand the new GTLD program, everyone should have the same fee, but part of our argument in our paper is we would have less fees for our potential applicants. So do we have to have the number in there?
Good question. It does seem difficult to put a number in there. Carla, what were your thoughts?
We don't have it. We don't need to have the number at all. It's just a copy and paste from the terminology that is in the website. So I agree that number would not make sense.
Okay, so then we would need another definition because that whole definition is about numbers. So we would need a definition that described what a registry fee was and without it being numerically oriented? Or would we need the term at all in the glossary? opinion on that? No opinion? So is it okay to drop registry fees since that definition only talks about the fees and not get into it? Or do we want to propose a descriptive definition?
We could leave that definition there, but just take off the numbers.
So I can't, there are two fees? Well, would you say there are two fees? No. Or you want to say there's two fees, a fixed fee per calendar quarter and a transaction fee on future domain registrations and renewals and just leave out the numbers? Is that the suggestion?
That's what I would do. But
okay, thanks. Eric, please.
Thank you, Avery. This is Eric Bruner-Williams. This fee used to be significantly greater prior to the Cairo meeting. At Cairo, we negotiated a reduction to the $25,000 a year registry fee. I'm ignoring the transactional fee because I really don't think it's a registry fee so much as it is a transactional fee. It doesn't really matter who it's collected from, registrars or registries. The fee, the 25 grand as it is now, or 6.25 per quarter, is intended to be sufficient for cost recovery for ICANN monitoring of the contract. I believe it's somewhere in our collective belief system that the contracts for our qualified applicants are going to be less difficult to monitor than contracts for .shu by the most interesting of the applicants for standard applications. So I'm concerned that we stick the number here without qualification. And that's it for the moment.
Okay. So would you go along with Alan's recommendation that we just remove the numbers and we just say that there are two fees, a fixed fee per calendar quarter and a transaction fee on future domain registration renewals, and leave out numbers?
I'd like to see the justification stated for the quarterly fee, that it is intended for a specific purpose, whereas the transactional fee is not justified. It is simply a fee that's applied to all transactions, independent of the namespace. This registry fee is intended to cover the costs of ICANN monitoring this contract for this registry. And if this contract for this registry is easy to monitor, cost should be lower than if it's a hard contract to monitor. So I want to see the rationale for the money there, even if the money isn't present.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, so we need an extra line or two. Alan?
That's a reasonable thing to have in the section of where we should change fees and where we should support these types of applications. It doesn't fit in the definition.
Alan, are you saying
we could put in here the rationale for such fees are to monitor contracts, but the argument that it should be lower for our applicants doesn't fit in definitions. And I would think since we're trying to wrap this up today, if we haven't made that argument somewhere else, it's probably a bit late to add it. But that's
a separate issue. I want to the rationale for the cost itself, the justification for the 25 grand.
If you want to put this fee is ostensibly or has been justified by something, fine.
Yep,
but going on to argument that for our applicants it should be changed
argument.
Is a different issue.
So in other words, Alan, if I'm understanding you, first of all, I think there's no one is objecting to removing the of 6250 USD and the of 0.20 USD from both. So Carla, you have that change. I don't think anyone's objecting to that one. And then I hear that there's a possibility of a second sentence that the fixed fee is defined as, and then some pithy phrase. It's defined to support
if indeed there's a non-controversial definition that
right.
we can replicate there, which is not putting a stake in the ground, yes, certainly we could put it.
Carla, is there a standard definition somewhere of the fixed fee has been defined to or has been set for a phrase that you can point to?
I will have to double check. There's no standard definition.
Right, okay.
In order to check the rationale from Eric, I would have to take a look at the budget, the cost document, and ask around. I don't think it's only to cover the compliance, but I can check.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I misstated when I said compliance. It's really the contract management cost on ICANN's side.
Right.
Okay, so to go further on this one would mean certainly that we you know, this pens a little longer. We don't have a neutral, acceptable by all phrase at this moment. I see Eric has his hand up again, please.
Avery, I've put a half line in the chat.
So basically, the fixed fee is intended to cover ICANN's recurring costs for registry contract management. Does anybody object to that phrase? Please put an X up if you object to that phrase. So it would be the fixed fee is intended to cover ICANN's recurring costs for registry contract management, period. I see no objections to that phrase. Waiting for a slight lag. Okay.
I would want to make sure that Carla is comfortable with it, that that's indeed what it is. Other than that, I have no objection.
Carla, are you comfortable with putting that in? Carla, are you mute? Ted?
Yes, I was on mute. Sorry. I'm okay. Let's put it as proposed, and then I'll go back and double-check. So what I have right now is, under the ICANN registry agreement, there are two fees, a fixed fee per calendar quarter and a transaction fee on future domain name registrations and renewals. These fees are intended to cover ICANN's recurring costs for registry contract management.
Okay, is that okay with people? I had thought that just the fixed fee was intended with that definition, but if these fees are intended to cover, that's fine too. Is that okay with people?
That's what I understood also.
Okay, Eric, that's fine with you?
I'm sorry, the 20 cents is not intended to cover contract management.
Exactly.
It's an entirely different justification.
Okay, so basically what you wanted, Eric, if I'd understood, is the fixed fee is intended...
Yep.
And perhaps if there's any difficulty, it could be primarily to cover ICANN's recurring costs for registry contract management if we need to be at all wiggly on whether it's only meant for that.
That's fine.
Huh? You
That's
accept
fine.
The primarily?
Yes. The 20
okay.
cents has a different rationalization.
Okay. Is that okay, Carla? So the fixed fee is primarily intended to cover ICANN's recurring costs for registry contract management. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Next line. We have support development program in yellow. Does that need a definition? If it does, a definition I'd recommend is something short that sort of says, you know, support development program is the program being proposed in this document. I don't know what more we could say about it as a definition. Does anyone have a concern?
This is Carla. My question is that in addition to what you just said, we also say that this is not to be confused or mixed with the new GTOD program itself.
That's it.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Anybody object?
No.
yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I think we have to define it as the program. What are the elements of this program? We have to state them. For example, raise funds. For example, look for founders. Manage the funds, if any, etc.
Isn't that by saying that? Just a question that makes it long and starts to possibly get controversial. I don't know, but by saying it is the activities defined in this document, isn't that cover all of that by reference, as opposed to listing them all out in a glossary? I'm asking.
Yes. No problem. I don't mind. Okay.
So going back, we had basically a two-sentence definition. The first sentence says the support development program is the program of support as defined in this recommendation. And then, period. And then the second sentence was Carla's sentence. It is to be differentiated from, and then whatever the proper name of the program is in the of the new GTLD program, or however you put it.
My only concern, Avery, is that we are talking about support developing program without defining it, and at the end we say all the program inside this document is this support document, support development program. I feel, I don't know, but I don't mind if everyone is okay. I don't mind.
Perhaps, I mean, we want to say specifically is the support development program is the program, is the set of recommendations, or is the program based on the set of recommendations made in this report. And therefore, then we have all of the recommendations made in that report, but it doesn't necessarily include the FAQ or the discussions. It's just basically it's a set of recommendations.
That's right.
Okay, are you okay with that, Carla?
Yes, I am. I'm just writing it, and I'm going to put it on the chat
yeah.
room.
Right. I figure you'll do wordsmithing and such. Okay, any objections to moving on to the next patch of yellow? Okay, next patch of yellow. About. Okay, developing countries. Okay, we got three in a row. Three biggies in a row. We've got developing countries, emerging markets/nations, and applicants in need. Yes, Eric.
Thank you, Avery. This is Eric Brunner-Williams. I sent a note out to the list yesterday suggesting either the Group of 77 or the Human Development Index. The advantage of the latter is that it's tunable. That is, we can specify a particular statistical metric within it, such as 0.8 or 0.7 or 0.6, 0.5, 0.4. That gives us the ability to tune the recipient class more than the larger, broader definitions of, that we've been proposed previously. Thank you.
Okay. Any other? So if I can ask a clarifying question. So you wouldn't suggest replacing G77 throughout the document. You would suggest defining developing countries as referring to G77, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And would you also use that for emerging markets nations, or would you peg that to that, or is that different? Okay, I see Andrew has a hand up. But, Eric, if you have an answer to the...
I've always treated those as identical. I'm not sure that that's correct, but I've made that assumption.
Okay, thank you. That's why I'm asking. Andrew.
Yes, I like the idea of having some attempt to make this a little bit more concrete. G77, though, is a bit of a political animal. There are certain countries that are in, there are certain countries that are out, and there are also a number of smaller countries that are not in that might otherwise be eligible under a typical emerging markets definition. So my personal preference is that G77 is probably too limited. But I think there are probably other ones that we can go for that have the UN imprimatur.
Do you have a concrete suggestion?
You know, I haven't really thought about it. I'm sorry, but probably, I mean, the World Bank does a definition of less developed countries, and so does the UN. Either of those would probably work. You want me to look for one? I'll look for one.
We're trying to resolve it this morning, so
sure.
If we are finished, we probably need one. Yes, Eric.
my thought here is that the better definition arises from the class of, well, in this case, less developed countries themselves, which is the attraction of the G77, which has been modified. And yes, there are some relatively minor issues with the completeness of it, but preferring that over the sort of at the risk of stepping into nasty politics, without using the World Bank as a place that defines necessity or defines what we think of as qualified applicants. Similarly, the UN is not entirely driven by the less developing countries, but prefer to see the definition arise from the recipients rather than arise from the donors. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. How would people be, Tijani has his hand up, one thing I'd like to put on the table is if we list G77 but make it criteria defined by lists such as the G77 and other internationally agreed upon lists and leave it open. Tijani.
Yes, Eric, I like very much the G77 index. My only problem with that, I have visited the site today and I saw on the map there is regions right now which are in black, means they are not defined for G77. So how to do with those regions?
Tijani, would my phrasing sort of cover it, that we point to G77 as a prevalent example, but just indicate an other applicable internationally agreed upon list, and not get down into the details in our definition of what these may all be? That may be something we do in the next phase, perhaps. But to not get in it for a definitional basis. Rafiq? Are you muted?
I sent email today saying that maybe we just we can state that a developing country is a country which can belong to the list, that we have different classification, and just if a country belongs to at least one of these classification, we can define it as developing country. So it's something more exhaustive, more inclusive, and we avoid any choice, political choice, etc. Just it will be as much inclusive as we can.
Okay, I see an agreement from Carlos on that. So that seems to go sort of along with the language I was suggesting. We could even still list G77 as one of the examples, but your rephrasing of it would be any nation or region that is defined on a list, on an internationally agreed upon list, such as the G77 or other lists. Is there something like that work?
Yes. Yeah. Every seven.
Yes.
I think
right.
The operative thing here is just making sure that the list is not defined by ICANN itself, but by
right. Outside
bodies with more expertise in this.
Yeah, that's why I was sort of saying an internationally agreed upon list. Tijani.
Yes, I prefer precise things. I prefer to say G77. UN and World Bank.
Okay, so as opposed to internationally agreed upon, internationally agreed upon lists such as G77 or UN or World Bank is kind of what you'd like to say. Is that correct? I see Fabienne agreeing with that. And Evan? Okay, Carla, do you have enough to phrase something from what I've just verbaled?
I think so. Let me wordsmith that, and I'll send it back to everyone.
Okay. And if I understand correctly, this would it be for developing countries, comma, emerging markets, nations? And so both of those would be defined by the same phrase, and in fact, or would be developing countries would have this, and then emerging market nations, refer to developing countries, and do it that way? Is that okay? So take the same phrase for both? I'm okay, I see one check. I'm assuming nobody objects. I don't see any red X's. So we'll keep them as two separate entities. Developing nations get the developing countries gets the definition, and emerging markets nations gets a reference to developing countries. On applicants in need, I just typed a possible way to define that, and this was one that I would recommend being reflexive to the document again. Applicant in need, applicant who meets conditions defined in section, and I forget the section number of this document. And then point to our section where we define the criteria for applicants. I think anything else we do starts to get into definitional problems. Yes, Tijani?
Do we have to define applicant in need? Because we said in our document that we need more work to define the criteria of the need. So we cannot define something that we don't know the criteria.
Okay. That works for me. Does anybody object to taking out applicant in need from the glossary?
Yes.
I see no objections. Big red X if you object to taking it out. Okay. No big red X's. So, Carla, I think we can just drop applicant in need. Are you okay with that, Carla? Carla, are you muted?
I'm muted. Yes, yes, I'm okay with that. So
okay.
My understanding is that developing nations, countries, emerging markets, it's all going to be under one definition, and I'm removing applicant in need.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Okay, that takes us out of the yellow there. Any objection to now moving on to back, giving a time check? We're at 9:37. Oh, sorry. We're at hour 37. Forgive me. I looked at the clock too quickly. And forgive me if anybody is on a half-hour offset country at the moment. Okay, so moving down to FAC. Does anybody have the number? I'm going. Oh, wait a second. I just passed another yellow. Other yellows. We had a yellow at next step, 533, 535. Carla, is this a sentence that you put in, or?
I'm sorry, what was the sentence again?
533, 535, under next step, the list of recommendations is for consideration by the new TTLD program implementation team and for further input from the community.
Yeah, I changed that based on the discussions that we had last Friday. I just wanted to confirm with the group that they are okay with that.
Isn't this also, though, for the rechartering consideration of our chartering organization? So the only comment I would make on this list of recommendations is for consideration by the chartering organizations in terms of new charter milestones, comma, the new GTLD program implementation team, and for further input from the community. Would anybody object to what Carla's written there with the one addition I just mentioned? The X's. Carla, are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks.
So what I have right now is the list of recommendations is for consideration by chartering organizations, the new GTOD program implementation team, and input from the community.
Sure. Works for me. Anybody object? No X's? I see a check. Thank you, Carla. I see a hand up. Elaine.
I don't object. I just wanted to point out that line 5, starting at line 528, we do have a sentence that says, we're looking for the chartering organizations, as in GNSO and ALAC, for the basic recommendations. So it's a little bit repetitive, but I don't really care. I just wanted to point it out.
Yeah. Thanks. I think it's repetitive, but I wanted to make sure that no one reads this last line and thinks it's only for them.
Okay.
Right. The only other way of changing it would be to say this list of recommendations is also for consideration by, and that would work too and not be redundant. Would people prefer that second formulation? That this list of recommendations is also for consideration by and for further input from the community, would that be better than the first thing I offered to deal with Elaine's redundancy comment? Any objection to deviating from the first change and just going for the addition of the word also? Carla, are you okay with that?
Yes, let's make sure that I got it right. So this list of recommendations is also for consideration by and then the three items that we had, right?
No, actually, it would only be the two then. It would be your original sentence with the word also. In other words, we're dealing with Elaine basically correctly pointing out that we spent the first couple lines saying it's for the COs, and this one is saying it's also for these guys.
Okay, so the list of recommendations is also for consideration by the new GTOD program implementation team and further input from the community.
Yep. Anybody object to that? Thank you, Elaine, for making it cleaner. Moving on. Stop at any other yellow I see, but otherwise I'm heading towards the fact. I'm at the fact. Okay, folks, so how do we go through the fact here? What, any issues? Should I go through stopping off at each one, or we have a yellow at 617, developing emerging country, but I think we're fine with that now because we defined it. Is that correct? Any objections to just leaving that as it is? Okay. So any issues on 4.1, back 4.1, why these applicants cannot just wait until the next round? Any corrections or objections to that one now? Okay, move on to 4.2. 4.2, which is running a registry can be expensive if an applicant needs financial assistance. Any, okay, Elaine, I see your hand up, please.
Again, late. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Line 600, ICANN should not cause allow the new program.
Okay. We've got too many language. ICANN should not.
Which line, sorry?
Or missing, right? ICANN should not cause or allow the new GTLD program to further the gap in GTLD registry representation from other regions. Is that okay? Is adding an or between cause and allow a correction in line 600-601?
Sounds good.
Okay, with everyone else?
It's Alan. I thought it was an either or, but and is fine.
Well, okay. Oh, so you think it should be an and or, not just an or?
Oh, I thought we changed the wording and didn't delete the old one, but I'm fine with the and it may even be better.
I actually should not cause and allow. No, it should not cause or allow is what I'm recommending.
Yeah, Eric, that's fine.
Your hand up.
Yeah, or is fine.
Okay, thank you. Eric, please. Are you muted?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was muted. This is Eric Renner-Williams. Thank you, Avery. In the past, we've been fairly cynical about when the next round would occur. I see in internal documents that the planning is for 12 months after the current round, which now actually appears to have a somewhat fixed date. So perhaps our skepticism is not quite as well supported by the facts available as it has been in the past. However, we have no assurance that the cost will be any different or how different it will be in the second round than in the first. So amongst the reasons why applicants are not benefited by waiting is, in addition to not knowing when, okay, so now we know a little bit better when, both when the 2010 round will occur, well, in 11, and also when the next round will occur, okay, 12 months after the close of the first round, we don't have an idea of how much the reduction in cost will be to the applicant. So we don't know what the benefit is to the applicants to wait. Thank you.
Okay, are you suggesting we need to add a bullet?
To point out that there is no identifiable benefit in financial benefit, reduction of cost benefit in waiting. Yes.
Okay. I don't see any other hands yet. First, I'd say on your timing and your perhaps almost confidence in timing, I think, yes, it's really good that our horizon time has gone down from 12 months to 9 months to now 6 months. And I think we have a new 12-month horizon. So the second round is at the very least a 6-month horizon plus a 12-month horizon away. So I still think that probably count as uncertain for most people. Then how would we phrase this second bullet and where would we put it? And first of all, does everybody agree that we need this bullet? Does anybody object to adding a bullet that would say something to the effect of there's no... they have phrasing recommendations.
Aubrey, this is Carla. Could you please repeat for me where you want the change and what change you need?
Okay. At this point, we don't, other than the change that we did before of adding the word or in section 600, we don't have a change yet.
Okay. So I didn't add this word or.
Okay. Or in line 600 should not cause or allow the new GTLD program to further the gap.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Elaine has just recommended a bullet, which I think would come right after this one. So this would now be bullet 3. No, it would be after pent-up demand. Where would you recommend you put this bullet? Well, let me read it first. Elaine sent a new bullet that said, there is no indication that fees will be reduced in subsequent rounds, therefore there is no benefit to waiting, period. And then Eric suggests that possible another way of wording it, there is no indication how much fees will be reduced. Another way is whether fees will be reduced, but something like that. Would that go after? That probably would go after talking about a second round. So that would probably go in at line 628. Is that a correct assumption on my part? Anybody disagree with it going in at 628? Okay. So, after pent-up demand. Okay, so in other words, Elaine, you're recommending that it go in at 618. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's stronger there.
Okay, anybody object to putting it in at 618? Okay, Carla, at 618... Or obviously, it'll be 619 because you'll skip a space. But at 618, there'd be a new bullet that states there is no indication that how much fees will be reduced in subsequent rounds. Therefore, there is no benefit to waiting. Basically,
okay.
A combination of Elaine's recommendation in the notes plus Eric's substitution on that. Is everybody okay with that wording? Johnny, yes, you have your hand up.
Yes, I propose to modify a little bit this the Ellen proposal to say no indication that fees will be reduced, and if they will be for how much they will be reduced.
Okay. So you're basically saying there is no indication that fees will be reduced, comma, or if reduced, by how much, comma,
Thank you.
Okay, and I see Elaine agrees. Carla, did you get that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Somehow I feel like I'm almost at an auction. Okay. Moving on. Any other issues? Okay, we're back to 4-2 now. Any issues on 4-2? Let me check. Are there any yellow patches? There's a yellow patch, developing economies, but I think we're okay with that. Or do we need to add developing economies to the... No, they're defined as the UN as developing economies. I think we're probably... should be okay with that because that would be a definition pegged by the UN. Tijani, yes.
Yes, regarding this issue of developing countries, can we inside the document unify the wording? And since we have the definition above, so I think that we have to use always the same, almost the same wording.
So we should pick one of the two we've already defined. So it's either developing nations, I believe it was developing nations. Or was it developing countries? I forget at the moment. Or it was the second one, which was emerging markets.
Emerging markets. No, we have to keep emerging markets where
right, no,
they
but
are.
But in this instance, you want to substitute developing economies with which of those two? And as we defined two in the glossary, if
no.
I understand your comment correctly, you're saying we should always use one of those two.
We didn't define it.
I thought we defined two things. We defined developing nations, and we defined emerging nations slash markets.
Yes.
Those were the two things we defined earlier in the meeting, correct? So those two we pegged a definition to. So if I understood what you were saying, and I guess I probably didn't, so you'll have to correct me. Is that we should always use one of those two phrases whenever we want to speak to the theme.
I do think so.
So in this case, which of those two phrases would you recommend we use? The developing nations one or the emerging markets slash nations or emerging nations slash markets one? Which one should we use?
Emerging market, perhaps.
Okay.
In this case.
Anyone object? Substituting developing economies with our defined phrase emerging markets slash nations? Hearing no objection, is that okay, Carla?
Yes. So do you want me to use emerging markets slash nations throughout the whole document where we refer to it?
Well, no, we have the two terms. So if we've defined two terms. We've defined the developing nations term, and we've defined the emerging market slash nations term as equivalent terms. So I think throughout the document we need to use one of those two.
Not as equivalent, as having the same reference to the UN and
right,
the G77 definition.
Okay, I apologize for making a deviation in linguistic philosophy that said if two things had the same definition, they're equivalent. But that's my mistake. Using one of those two always and never going for a third term that we haven't defined.
Exactly.
But we don't always have to use the same one. So I guess one will work better in some circumstances than others, and often it'll be just the phrasing of the sentence that'll dictate which one works better. Okay. Is that okay, Carla?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other objections, issues with 4-2 as it stands? We are now at 53, and I mean our dot 53. Okay, 4-3. New GTLD program should be self-funding. Is there any yellow? Any objections to the answer as it stands? No issues. 4-4. Solutions proposed by this working group are supposed to be sustainable. Any objection to the answer that's there? 4 for 680. Yellow in it. No objections. No X's. No hands. On 4-5. How did the working group decide on the $10 million proposed? 683. through. $722. There's a yellow developing regions, but we've already covered that issue. It needs to be which one? The emerging
developing countries. Developing countries.
Okay, developing countries. Okay, in this case, in 718, developing regions would be defined by replaced by developing countries. Any other issues or objections to this possible scenario explanation for why 10 million is not just taken out of the hat? No? No issues? Okay. And then we're at the end of the document. Any issues with any of the end matter? Appendix Annex A. We need to fill in the date of when the final milestone report is posted. Good question. Time for me to come back to that question. Is it final milestone report or is it milestone report? Anyone object to dropping the word final? So we're okay with dropping the word final. Please put a big X if you want the word final not to be dropped. So the word final will be dropped, okay? Throughout this document, Carla, can you just call it the milestone report?
I changed the
title. Okay, I see Elaine's hand up. Elaine,
I will reveal throughout the document or whatever.
Let me get Elaine's hand. Elaine's hand came up late, perhaps it's to this subject.
Well, for the first time this morning, I'm early. It's for something else. So.
Oh, okay. So, yes, Carla, sorry. So this will just be a milestone report. And we dropped the word final. I don't think it's in too many places. I think it may be in the abstract and such. Okay, Elaine.
Yeah, so you asked about any issues with the
other end matter. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the key milestones, the tasks, the goals, and the dates, I think at one point the call for support from the community was added, and now it's gone. The blog posting.
Okay, yeah. So I know it was added. I know I saw it added to the list of. You're right. It's also not in the Annex C. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
It's not in the Annex C, and it's not in the milestones. Yes, it should be added back. What Elaine's referring to is the work that was done with the posting going out to, I guess it's registry service providers predominantly.
Input.
And so, yeah, that was done on a particular date, so that should figure into the milestone date. Any objection to that? And then also a copy of that needs to be included in the list of addenda. Yes, Eric. Are you muted, Eric?
Yes, I am. I wanted to make sure that the actual text itself was available to the reader.
Of the blog thing.
Yes, whatever went out to the RSPs is available here.
And that's what that was the second point, that in Annex C, and I thought it had been included at one point, but I guess it fell out. Annex C needs to include a reference to that particular posting, and then, of course, the list of addenda need to include the text. Is that okay? Do you have those two notes, Carla?
So what I have is to include the June 14, which was the call for input blog, on the key milestone list. What was the other? I'm sorry?
And then the other thing is in the addendum, and thus in Annex C, we need to include the text of that blog posting.
Oh, that's already there.
Okay, I guess it doesn't show up in the Annex C listing. So then I guess it needs to be included just in the Annex C list. The annex fee list should include a list of everything that's in the addendum. Okay? That one okay? I see Johnny's hand up.
Yes, I see that you put the cover letter to the of the second snapshot, but I don't see the second snapshot listed here.
Well, it says cover letter and text of second snapshot.
And text. Oh, excuse me.
Right. Okay.
I am old. That's why. Sorry.
Uh-huh. You're not old, but anyway, if you're old, I'm ancient. But anyway, okay. So this document is. Am I correct in assuming that we are fine with this document? We're at the hour now. We're not making it to go through the objection documents. So I guess that's going to have to wait until Thursday. But do we have consensus? Do we have full consensus on this document going out subject to the changes we've talked about today? Is there anyone that feels that we do not have such full consensus on this document going out with contingent on today's changes? In which case, what I recommend is once Carla has made those changes, people review them quickly on the list, I will ask the question again about full consensus on this document, and also I'll ask her to change the area where it says we have full consensus on the document if that hasn't been changed already, so that we have a document that says we have full consensus. I will ask people to do a quick review of it on the list, and once we've given a 24-hour period for people to say yay, is 24 hours good or should it be 48? Okay. If anyone objects to 24, please say either now or on the list, and we could do it for 48, just to make sure that everyone's had a chance to read it and to say, yep, I am. It reads as it should, because then we'll start the translation process, and then I guess Thursday we'll need to finish the overview of the addenda and especially specifically the comments. Is that okay with everyone? I'm totally excited that it looks like we've gotten to this document, this final recommendation, with full consensus. And I thank you all for a wonderful meeting today. And I'll talk to you Friday. But hopefully I'll talk to people on the list sooner.
Anything
else? Evan, do you have anything to close with? Guess not.
Sorry, no, I've been on mute. No, I'm pretty happy.
Okay.
Thank you, Avery.
It's been a long slog.
Yeah, you guys, and thank you for, accepting me back after 2 weeks' absence. So I'll talk to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.